Ebenezer family and friends. It is just so good to be able to connect again through this virtual platform. I'm just thanking the Lord for salvation. Any amens out there, just put amen in the chat, or Moshikon claps, or wherever you're sitting at, just lift up your hands, just thanking God for saving us. I've been thinking about, you know, as we're in this year of being living epistles, and I imagine your life being an example of God's word, that there's some people that are never going to read a physical Bible except through you, by your life. So I encourage you, as we're in 2023, to really focus in and share Christ. To all our first-time visitors, we welcome you. Maybe you've been here several times and you're like, man, I'm interested in knowing more. Please go to our website. We've got links there to give you more information, most importantly about Christ, and to help you grow in the Lord. Thank you so much for downloading the app, those that have connected with us, getting notifications. Many of you are connecting via YouTube on your TV, so you got big screens now. We want to use those devices for the kingdom, that God be glorified in that. On our Mondays, we have our noonday Bible study on Tuesdays, Monday manna on Monday, Wednesday, we're going to the book of Luke at 7 o'clock. All of those are virtual. But on Thursdays, we actually have a in-person Bible study right there in our sanctuary at 6 o'clock, where we're going through the Johns. And so we've been through the first John, and now we're in the second John, and we'll be going to a third John. So we're just studying God's word, and we're growing together. Also, I just want to thank you so much for your prayers for our services on Sunday. Of course, we've got this online community that the Lord is just blessing us via that. And we have our 8:45 in-person and our 10:45 in-person services. So the Lord's just been gracious, and I just thank him for what he's doing and how he's using the entirety of the body. Finally, I just want to thank you for your giving. Thank you for being a cheerful giver and purposing in your heart. We've held up this standard in the scripture for just a long time, as we saw how God wanted us to give from our heart. No, many come from the Old Testament principle, tithes and offering. And yes, you can give. There's a percentage of your income you can set aside. I think everyone should do that, just because God has been so good. But in that giving, we purpose, we think about it, and we thank God for his graciousness. And we don't have to be grudging or upset because we're doing it, but we're thankful that the Lord has been good. Any amens out there? He has been a wonderful provider in spite of. He's taken us through so much. Well, I'm thinking about the word that we're going to get in today, really portraying our lives as these living epistles. And I want you to focus in and prepare your hearts. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit's going to speak to us. You be blessed.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
On this morning, I'll be reading from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 16 through 21. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down and cannot rise. They extinguish like a quenched wick. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and the rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise.
Amen. Amen. Because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Jehovah Jireh, Lord, you're my provider. Jehovah Nissi, Lord, you reign in victory. Jehovah Shammah, you're my Prince of Peace. And I worship you because of who you are. Because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you because of who you are. You're Jehovah Jireh, Lord, you're my provider. Jehovah Nissi, Lord, you reign in victory. Jehovah Shammah, you're my perfect Prince of Peace. And I worship you because of who you are. Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Lord, I worship you because of who you are.
It is so good to know it's because of who he is. Oh, thank God for Jehovah Jireh. Thank God for him being our everything. Well, as we get back into this series, we are barreling to the end. We've got a few more sermons in this series, but renew our mind, how we learn, that whole process. And I believe that we all are growing in the Lord. I know I am. As I go through these scriptures and are able to share those things with you, God is actually transforming us, which gets us to our memory scripture. So I want you to focus in. Prepare yourself to read it aloud with me, this Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Yeah, we're reading it aloud, getting it into our mind, seeping down into our heart. The Lord is awesome. Before we go any further, let's pray together. Father, I just thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for being our everything, Lord. Thank you, Father God, for this day that you have made. And as we approach your word, just do it carefully, Lord. I pray for those who are viewing, listening in, who don't know you. Lord, would you let today be the day for them, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them know us by grace through faith and not of themselves. It is a gift from you. Oh, that they receive that gift. Now, Lord, I ask you to minister to your saints. Move me out of the way. Help us to grow in you. Renew our minds. Teach us in the only way that you can teach us, via your Holy Spirit that is our comforter, our teacher, our guide. Lord, we ask you right now to open up your scriptures, reveal them to them, make them so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today we want to go to a particular portion of scripture, Acts chapter 16. We want to focus in around that 17th verse. We were dealing with Paul the Apostle, his conversion on the Damascus Road. We've seen him connect with the fellowship. And so now we're jumping ahead some 15 to 20 years from that initial encounter with Christ, and we're going to look at his growth process and to see how did God teach him? You know, what was the predominant way of learning? How did that learning come into his life? So let's look at this, Acts 16:17. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. Listen to that again. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim us the way of salvation." I want to speak from the title today, Learning by Doing. Learning by Doing. Now, this particular title actually can be founded on some theories from the training and teaching. It refers to this educational thought that was actually presented by American philosopher John Dewey and also Paul Freer. They came together and they just kind of put this information out there that the best way people learn is by doing. Well, that seems very intuitive to me that we understand to get something. Generally, we need to do that. We need to interact. It's not just sitting in the classroom and receiving information, but we need hands-on experience. Some of you remember home ec. Many schools, they don't have that anymore, where you would go in and you would learn about how to cook and how to iron your clothes, all of these things, these hands-on things. Many of you remember they had that part, the shop, where you could work on cars and you could get oil changes, all of these things here. We learned by doing. Well, guess what? Christ does that too. Father God uses situations within our lives to teach us. Aristotle made this statement. He said, "For the things we have to learn before we can do them, we learn by doing them." I want to read that again because it's powerful. "For the things we have to learn before we can do them, we learn by doing them." Time frame is about 50 AD. Paul has grown in the Lord. He has suffered, it seems like, every day of his life for the gospel's sake, but it is all worth it. Here, as we pick up, he's on his second missionary journey. He's gone through Derbe and Lystra with Timothy. He had his Macedonian call. He also connected with new believers, converts, one after another. One is Lydia, and possibly we're going to come back a little later in another sermon and deal with her life. But as we get into this portion of scripture, I want you to really think about your progress. How is the Lord teaching you? How are you learning? And what is your growth process looking like to others? Let's get into this, Acts 16:16. "Now it happened, as we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling." Yeah, this is real life. This is where the rubber meets the road. Here's our first point. Are you ready? Yes, are you ready? As we go through this life as Christians, so often we can get into a mode where we kind of just sit and receive from others, you know, pastors preaching and we receive. But the whole process of the Lord using me to preach and teach and even my life is to take that information and apply it to our lives, that we can be transformed to be more like Him. So here we pick up Paul, and he's with his entourage, and as they're going out, they meet a slave girl that's possessed by a demon. Now, this is critical within that. This divination means python. In Greek, it's broke down python. Yeah, picture comes a snake. Dr. Woodrow Noel, he actually breaks this down for us. He says, "The priestess of Delphi in that area called the python after the serpent that had guarded the oracle, and the word was also used of soothsayers. Such a person was thought to be inspired by the god Apollo, who was associated with the giving of oracles. This girl was demon-possessed, and her uncontrolled utterances were considered to be the utterances of God." Saints of God, you got to understand the enemy is working in that season that we're looking at, but also in our season. This is an evil-filled world. Any amen? Just put amen on the chat wherever you are. There is so much, as I am looking at the magnitude of the murders and how these first-degree murder people are thinking. It seems to be more and more evil ways how to get rid of people and the schemes that are going on in mind. I realize, man, it is getting closer and closer to the return of Christ. Are you being used of God? Are you ready to be used of God in tight situations such as this? Just the other day, I was out with one of my Marine buddies, and we were sitting on a corner in a restaurant, and every time we go someplace, it's just what we do. We always have our back away from the door so that we can see the door, we can see our surroundings. It's just something that I don't know if it came from basic training. That's just what we do. And we were looking around, and somehow we started talking about the world. We started talking about the evil and people doing crazy things, and we were like, if something go down, we got y'all. The people that we was like, we got you, because we're looking, we're searching, we're ready for anything to happen. And it's the same way as Christians. We've got to be ready to be used of the Lord. We've got to be ready at any time the Spirit speaks to us to move in a way to share the good news. 2 Timothy 4:2 talks about this. It says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Notice closely this Acts 16 again, that last part. It said, this spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. As she is possessed by this demon, please understand, she is making a profit for her owners, her masters. Yeah, they are controlling her in some sense. This demon, it's actually a he demon that's on the inside. It's amazing how the scripture brings this out. And this demon is speaking utterances. Now understand, you're like, Pastor, that wasn't real, wasn't true. Yeah, it was. Even as we, in our town, our city, we've got palm readers, you got places. I remember when we moved into the area that we moved into, came down Gate City Boulevard, there was a palm reading place that was there. And I was like, man, that's not going to last. Man, we've been in the place that we are some 20, 25 years, and they've expanded, you know, new paint, everything. And I'm like, something's going on in that place. But when demon things or demonic presences are being used, they do have a sense of being able to see certain things. There is a sense of truth that's mingled in with the spin of the devil. Please understand that. I can show you numerous places within the Bible that the enemy does have some insight, but it's the spin, not to glorify God, but to always bring you down. Here, this particular girl is possessed, and she's being used by these men, controlled, so that she can actually bring them profit. God spoke of these types of spirits in Leviticus 19 and 31. Listen to this. Give no regard to mediums and familiar spirits. Do not seek after them to be defiled by them. He says, I am the Lord, your God. Yes, these familiar spirits were used then, and yes, they are still present in our everyday society. Look at Acts 6:17, learning by doing. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. This is a powerful scripture. Please get this point. The devil knows whose you are. Yeah, that's hard to say. The devil knows whose you are. He knows who you are, but he knows whose you are. This is critical. If you notice within this scripture, that second part, it says, and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. So as Paul and those that are around him are going, sharing the good news, this demon-possessed girl is following them and screaming this out, crying this out over and over again, telling who they are. These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. Imagine this. It is true. They are servants and they are proclaiming, but this demon is just coming over and over again. And please understand, God does not need a demon celebrating and giving him praise in a sense, because in this whole process here, what it was doing, it wasn't really lifting them up, but it was actually pushing people away because of the loudness that were going on. And so Paul is trying to minister. He's trying to share the good news. And this demon is just screaming this out over and over again. Jesus had to deal with this in Mark 1:23. Look at how he dealt with it. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But look at what Jesus did in that 25th verse. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet and come out of him. James even brings out this other thought, James 2:19. It says, you believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. I think there's a misconception within our society that somehow, you know, the devils or demons don't know who God is. Yes, they know. And some of them are portraying themselves as God, but they are demons and leading people into pits of hell. And so we need to realize and be aware. We've got to be ready and we've got to learn by doing as the Holy Spirit is ordering ourselves, as they see here with Paul. What is following you? Yeah, it puts the light. What is following? Could you put that in the chat? What is following you? Because I am telling you, if you're growing in the Lord and you're becoming more like him, the enemy does not like it. And there may be some low level devils on your path, but please understand you are ready and you are available to be used of the Lord. We don't have to fear. Isn't that good news? We don't have to fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound mind. You ought to shout out the sound mind. It is so good to know when we're in the Lord, we're learning by doing. God has our back. Romans 8:31 says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? I'm telling you, that is good news. Learning by doing. Look at Acts 16:18. And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, yeah, we get annoyed sometimes, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And here it is. There it is. He came out that very hour. Here's a point. Please get this one. Faith in action. Yes, faith in action. So often we say, I got faith, you know, I am believing, but there's no action behind that. There must be an urgency in us as we're listening to the voice of the Lord to not just hear him, but to do what he tells us to do. There's so many people that can give you a word. They can say, well, you know, God spoke to me that you do this. And God spoke to me, I really believe this is a word for you. But I'm always like, well, what's the word that God has given you? Because this whole process here, if we're learning by doing, God speaks to us so that we can do. I have a saying that if it moves you, move it. So if there's something that concerns you, annoys you, don't tell somebody else to do it. Won't you take care of it? And this is the process that God is using here with Paul. We learn by doing. James 2:17 says, thus also faith by itself, it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. It is critical here, as we're learning by doing, that our faith is shown by doing something. Our belief is shown by walking out that which we believe in. Look at Acts 16:18, that second part. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. Now, this is critical. There could be a question here. There's tension in the text. Why did he wait so long? Why did he allow this demon just to continue to scream out day in and day out? We don't have a conclusive answer to that. All we know is that at the precise time, he couldn't take it anymore. And under the power and the anointing of God, he spoke to the demon. Please understand that had possessed this girl. And in that very hour, the demon came out. How many folks have been possessed? How many people have had the enemy on their track in their lives? And God needed us to be ready. He needed us to learn by doing in that process. I'm telling you, the enemy is still working on people. The enemy is still messing with minds. And God needs us to be able to stand stand up and be example of that he is still in the delivering business. Are there any witnesses that know that God can still deliver? God can still heal. Thank God for doctors. Thank God for medications. But I know a doctor above all doctors. Any amens out there? I know someone who's a mind regulator. I know someone who's a nurse in a sick room. I know someone who is there for us. We've got to trust the Lord. We've got to be ready to be used. How does the Lord want to use you in faith, in action? How does he want to transform your life and for more souls to be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth? The Dave Matthews Band, many years ago, they wrote these powerful lyrics. They said, we got to do much more than believe if we want to see the world change. We got to do much more than believe if we really want to change things. We got to do much more than believe, go on, try it, go on, try it. We got to do much more than believe if we want to see the world change. As Christian, we got to do more. Yes, we've got to learn by doing, and we've got to hear the voice of the Lord, and we've got to cry out, Lord, use me. Look at Acts 16:19. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. Here's another point. Trouble. Yes, trouble. A small word in a sense, just one word, but very powerful as we think about, as we are learning by doing. Sometimes we find ourselves in troubling situations. Instead of being grateful for this woman who was demon possessed being delivered, they're upset. Why? Because it hit their pocketbook. Yeah, they can't make any more money. The demon has been cast out. And so now this girl, she's just herself. She does not have any demonic activity to tell the future or to enlighten, to profit them. And so they're upset. To follow Christ, sometimes we're going to find ourselves in hot water. Any outs out there? We're going to say some things that the Lord put on our heart that people are not going to like. And sometimes that's going to divide us from people that we used to walk. We can't go every place that we used to go. This whole process, simply because as we are getting more like Christ, we become more contrary to the world. There is a cost of discipleship. Can you put in the chat cost, C-O-S-T. There is a cost. It's going to cost you something. Luke 12:49, Jesus said this. He said, I came to send fire on the earth, and how indeed I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till it is accomplished. Do you suppose that I came to give peace on the earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. From now on, five in one house will be divided, three against two and two against three. Father will be divided against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Please understand, as we're learning by doing, there is going to be a dividing process as we're growing in the Lord. It's an interesting fact as we think about this girl who's been delivered. There's nothing else said about her. There's nothing. It's kind of like she just kind of blends into the background. But I can only imagine she had a testimony of how she was once in bondage, but now she is free. Are there any saints that say, I once was lost, but I now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. Acts 6:20-21. Look at that. And it says, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, learning by doing. Now the question is, what were they teaching? And Paul the apostle is very explicit on this in 1 Corinthians 1:23. He says, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, the Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. Isn't that good news to know we preach Christ? I'm telling you, we've got to lift up the cross, what happened at Calvary, how Jesus carried our sins and bore our griefs. It's Christ and the good news that he died for us, but he got up on the third day with all power and glory. If you're not hearing that message, I'm telling you, you need to run away. We need that because that is the only way that we can become more like Christ. He is the propitiation for our sins. Paul writes again in 1 Corinthians 2:2, "For I have determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." This is powerful. God put this on my heart, this saying. He says, learning by doing will sometimes lead us to trouble and get us into trouble. Any amens out there? Sometimes we're going to find ourselves in hot water. We're going to find ourselves in trouble, but as long as we're in trouble for the Lord. But never forget our call. Romans 12:1, it says, "I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, a holy and acceptable God, which is your reasonable service." Here is our memory scripture, Romans 12:2, "And be not conformed this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that good and acceptable and that perfect will of God." Our lives are a living sacrifice as we're learning by doing. Look at Acts 16:22. "Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into the prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks." Final point, faith under fire. Yes, faith under fire. Now, this is important to note. What do you do when God allows you to get into these intense situations? What do you do when God allows bad things to happen to good people? That's a question some people are going through. Some people go through because of bad choices that they've made, sinful choices that they made. But some people are going through all because of the cross, all because they took an opportunity to stand for Christ. If you read through the Bible, you'll see martyr after martyr, people that were actually killed for the sake of the cross because they would not turn back. Here we find out that Paul is being used in his entourage in an amazing way to go through the fire. What happens when God puts us in these situations? As we look at this scripture, they're stripped naked and they're beaten. This is a shameful act that the people that were used to beat them were called lictors, and these lictors would literally use rods and they would beat. They hadn't done anything wrong but except to share Jesus Christ, and they delivered this girl that had been demon possessed. But now they are going through and suffering pain. But please understand, this is not unusual. Anybody remember the Old Testament? There were three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Can I just read that a little bit for you? Daniel 3:14. "Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up?" It's amazing as we look at Paul and those that were around him. They were going to share Jesus Christ, and they weren't going to go with this demon possession. They were going to cast it out. Here, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have chosen to stand against idol worship. Daniel 3:15. "Now if you are ready at that time, you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in sympathy with all kinds of music, and you will fall down and worship the image which I have made." Good. Nebuchadnezzar was like, if you just fall down and you just worship this demon god, everything will be fine. It says, "But if you do not worship, you should be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" Daniel 3:16. "I love this. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, We have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace." Anybody know that he is able? We're learning by doing. God has done so much in our lives. And it says, "And he will deliver us from your hand, O king." Daniel 3:18. But I love this because sometimes we go through stresses. Sometimes he doesn't deliver immediately. He says, "But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." You know what? They were thrown into a fiery furnace at this point. Can I'm going to read the end to you because I want to lift up with learning by doing. See, sometimes you got to go through the fire. You got to know that God will never leave you or forsake you. There ought to be some saints now said, I know about it, Pastor. I had to go through some stuff, but I found out that God was faithful. And now that I'm on the other side, I become stronger. I become wiser and I can trust the Lord even more. Daniel 3:21, then these men were bound in their coats and their trousers and their turbans and their other garments and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because of the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fire. I'm talking about learning by doing. And next Sunday, we're going to talk about Paul and his entourage and what they had to go through. But I'm so glad I got this example that he may not show up when you want him, but he's always on time. Is there any hallelujahs out there? Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose up in haste and spoke, saying to his counselor, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. Daniel 3:25, look, he answered, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. I'm telling you, even when we find ourselves in unjust situations, it's so good that God is always with us, and we need to prepare ourselves for a miracle. God is teaching us. We're learning by doing. I'm so glad Hebrews 11:1 lets us know about faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, we're going to come back, and we're going to finish this chapter on Paul and those that were with him on next Sunday. But I want you to know that the cross of Calvary is real. That's why Paul went through all these things. That's why he trusted the Lord with his whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. Are there any witnesses out there know that God is good and he's faithful? Well, as we conclude all of this, I just want to go to a song by Lucy Eddie Campbell. It's so important to understand Lucy's background. She was born to a family of nine in Mississippi, and she was living for the Lord with her whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. And she encompassed this process of learning by doing. She said, if when you give the best of your service and telling the world that the Savior has come, be not dismayed when men don't believe you. He understands and says, well done. Any hallelujahs out there? Misunderstood the Savior of sinners, hung on the cross. He was God's only son. Oh, hear him call his Father in heaven. Not my will, but thine be done. If when this life of labor is ended and the reward of this race you have run, oh, the sweet rest prepared for the faithful will be his blessed and final well done. But if you try and fail in your trying hands, sore and scarred from the work you've begun, take up your cross and run quickly to meet him. He'll understand. He'll say, well done. I love this chorus, this conclusion. And she said, oh, when I come to the end of my journey, weary of life and the battle is won, carry the staff and the cross of redemption, he'll understand and say, well done. Well, I want you to know, on that cross of Calvary, Jesus said, it is finished. He died on the cross. They put him in a cold grave, but he got up on the third day with all power and glory for you and me, that we can learn by doing and know that we walk not by our flesh, but we walk in the power of God by his Spirit. Are there any hallelujahs that know that greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world? Saints of God, he is renewing our mind to become more and more like his son. We are blessed of the blessed, but we're going to have to go through. Yes, we're going to be in tight situations. Everybody's not going to be our friends. We're not going to be able to do everything that we used to do before we got saved. Matter of fact, we're walking, living epistles of God's glory. But I'm telling you, it is all worth it, because there are going to be many in your life, not just my life, in your life, that are going to come to Jesus because you were an example, that you stood. And you know what? They may not come to you when you make a stand, but maybe they'll come to you in secret, like Nicodemus did to Jesus by night, and say, you know what? Thank you for making a stand. I wasn't strong enough to do it, but I saw the example of you, and I want what you have. Yes, that's the life that God is calling us to in this season and time. It's dark. It's getting dark out there. Not just going into the evening time, but it's dark spiritually. But God has left us in this world So let our light shine that men and women can know that Jesus is still in the saving business. If you are focusing in right now and going, I don't know if I know him. If he would come back right now, can you say conclusively that you would be with Christ forevermore in the bliss of heaven, new heaven and new earth? Are you concerned that maybe your home would be with the enemy, the devil? Well, you can get it right now, because God has put explicitly in his word. He said, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God is raising from the dead, it says we will be saved. Man, that is a gracious act that God has given his elect, those that he has loved from the foundation of the earth. And I encourage you, don't stay any longer on the enemy's side. Step out today and ask Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in your life. If you've done that, you know what? Only Christ can save you. God will come into your heart. He'll make a transformation. And I encourage you to take other steps. Tell somebody. Get connected to a local fellowship and get baptized and let people know that Christ is doing a wonderful work in your life. To the saints, man, the trumpet call is out. God is teaching us. We're learning by doing. But now we've got to get off the chairs. We've got to get off the couches. We got to just stop just listening. But we've got to start doing. If we believe something, we're going to do something. Faith without works is dead. It's time now to interact with our communities, interact with those that are around us. And yes, we're going to go through sometimes, but it's all worth it. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for this message of encouragement and rallying us to the call that we have to step up. We are being transformed. You're teaching us. Our minds are being renewed. Therefore, we've got to share the good news by living the life. And Lord, thank you that we're ready. We're ready, Father God, for you to speak to us, and we'll speak to others. God, thank you that you're still saving, delivering, and setting free. And we know there are people out there right now that are going through, Father God, and you can use us. So we ask you, Lord, bring us to those intersections of life. Lord, encourage us. Holy Spirit, thank you for dwelling in the believer. Father, thank you for ordering our steps. Continue to please teach us. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Your grace and mercy brought me through. I'm living this moment because of you. I want to thank you and praise you too. Your grace and mercy brought me through. Oh Jesus, your grace brought me. I'm living this moment. I'm living this moment because of you. And I wanna thank you and praise you too. Your grace, grace and mercy brought me through. Thank you for saving a sinner like me to tell the world salvation is free. There were times when I just didn't do right, but you washed over me. Oh, I'm living this moment. I'm living this moment because of you. And I want to say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Justice demanded, said that we all should die. But grace and mercy said, oh no, oh no, oh no, I've already paid the price. You see, I once was blind, but I thank God now I can see. It was because grace and mercy came around and rescued, rescued me. Oh, your grace brought me through. I'm living this moment.